start with any apologies?
Apologies from Councillor Brian Toy and Councillor Steve Gazzard.
Okay. Then, somebody will adjourn for the public forum, but I don't believe we have anyone that needs to speak on that regard.
Can I just make one comment? I haven't forgotten my entrancing today. The door was locked, so if anybody had wanted to come in, that was 5 to 6. So I was just going to say, if anybody had come along, they wouldn't have known how to get in and wouldn't have had to, you know, wouldn't
have
got in.
We are supposed to have a council doorman down there this evening, but we're not quite sure what's happened.
Oh, right. It's okay, so I came in from Exeter, so I think it didn't work. That's okay.
So I'm investigating.
No, it's just I thought if somebody had come along.
No, we are supposed to.
We should be here.
Great, thank you. Now the committee meeting minutes from the committee meeting, which was all the way back on the 23rd of May. Have people reviewed them, and if so, are we happy to confirm the proposal and second that? Unless there's any comments, of course.
Statement has a payment to Bicton Street Blues, and I'm one half of that. That was for a performance during the Exmouth Festival. Very honoured to do that. We also have an item to do with the town allotments, and I'm an allotment holder, although I won't directly benefit from the suggested project. I also know a couple of the people who are applying for funding. Well, everybody knows Roger, so I don't think relevant, but I also am a good friend of Peter Cooper, who's applying on behalf of Exmouth Museum.
Okay, thank you. Everyone else?
I suspect that we need to declare an interest in Exmouth Museum for Beryl Cole. Did we know Beryl Cole?
Noted. Nobody else? Okay, and then the next one is to resolve the press and public be excluded during part two of the agenda. Have we got part two this time? No, we haven't got part two, so we don't need to resolve anything. And so we move on to item number 7, which is the report from the responsible financial officer.
So the report's been circulated. You've got details of the bank balances as of the 30th of June. So that's the bank balance of our community account, our current account, and our active saver account. You'll see that the balance in the active saver account is quite high at the moment, raising that in the context of the £85,000 protection limit that we have at the bank. But we've got a separate item on the agenda to discuss our investment strategy, so I suggest we come back to that. There are two unpresented cheques, and then there's a summary of the total expenditure that was made in April, May and June 2019. Confirmation that we've still got £100,000 invested in the CCLA Public Sector Investment Fund, and summary of funds that we're holding on behalf of the others in our capacity as trustees of the various charitable funds, including the shareholding and the National Savings Bond holding that we hold on behalf of the William Adams Wedgwood Trust. Is everybody clear? I mean, happy? It's fairly straightforward. Yes? Okay. Do you want me to move on to item 8? The statement of implement extension?
Yeah.
But just go back to that. We're going to talk about, you said, investments later. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's on the agenda under agenda item 12, okay. To review the council's investment strategy. So then on the income and expenditure, you've been given a summary report for the period ending 30th of June 2019. There are no areas of concern. Obviously, we haven't received our second precept payment yet. But you know, in terms of our expenditure against budget, there's no areas that I feel I need to flag up at this stage. It's all looking quite healthy. Has anybody got any specific questions, though?
About the expenditure? Do I need to put the thing on?
Yes, please.
The phone line, £45, and the internet at £91. That seems an awful lot.
Is that on the payments list?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me just see if I can find it.
It's there.
It's there. Okay. So, yeah, we have a VOIP phone service, a voice over internet
telephony service.
Well, I think when we moved back into the town hall, Alistair, our IT consultant, did quite a lot of work on telephony for us, because we used to have old-style contracts, you know, traditional telephone contracts, and a traditional telephone system. Mm. And the telephone system, the switchboard system.
Is this like an old PBX system?
Yes, and there's maintenance charges associated with the switchboard system were quite onerous. So we did a complete review of phone packages, and it came to finance committee. We were recommending that we did this VOIP phone system. So we've all got new VOIP handsets, and then we moved our actual line rental to Zen, which for the requirements that we had were deemed to be competitive when we undertook that review.
How long ago was this? Were you on five then? Because you had the standard broadband back then, your capacity now that you have a fibre connection, you'd have much more capacity now.
Mm. I think probably the best thing is, because I can't recall the detail off the top of my head, Frank, but there was a fairly comprehensive report put together at the time by ACS Solutions. Probably the best thing is if I dig that out and let you have a copy of it, and then if there's anything you feel we need to query, we can take
I'm
that back
thinking,
to Alistair.
Sorry, because it may have been a couple of years ago, with the technology advancing and broadband especially getting cheaper, 2 years is quite a long time ago. Mm. Maybe it's time to review it to see if we can get a better deal, because that does seem like an awful lot of money for £91. Is that a month as well?
Yes, for internet. I'll dig out the initial report, because I can't remember all the details, but I know at the time, you know, we did quite a lot of market comparison, and that was deemed to be the best solution for us.
Do you know how
us.
Long you were... There were tied into it.
I can't remember.
Okay, I can't remember.
I need to dig out all the information. But I know there were complications with us moving up to Roll Street and back again as well, because there wasn't that much availability. There's a bit of a black spot when we moved to Roll Street, so that's coming back to mind as well. If I can dig out the reports, and then we can just refresh our memory on the grounds on which that was decided, and if we need to review it, that's fine.
Lynn, did you have another question?
Yeah,
that's
obviously the question. I'll look it all up and forward
the information. So that was item number 8 then. Lynn,
I just want to ask a question that we've got later on the agenda. We have an item concerning the town crier, but the monies that are in the account don't correlate with what he has requested in his letter, because he's saying £10 a week, and that's not what you paid. You paid £46 in the in the first quarter. So that obviously doesn't correlate with what he has told us in his letter. Will you be explaining that then, or is there a reason that it's not what?
I don't know why the letter doesn't correlate.
Well, no, it's just his letter for the part that we're talking about. He's saying it's £10 a week. He's asking for an increase to £30 a week.
Yeah.
He gets
paid £46 in the first quarter. So either it's not £10 a week.
No, it's not £10 a week.
Right. So you'll clarify that when we speak. But thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, in which case, if we're all happy, I think we can move on to consider the grant application.
Oh,
can I just? We need to do the reconciliation of accounts against.
Oh, sorry, that's still part of
the
report. Yes. Okay.
Julie's just going to do that.
Briefly, there was a Barry W. Sharp. Chief, was that a ban for the festival this year?
On the payments list.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's Barry W. Sharp, and then it says it's Barry Chief Whip.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was a ban. Yeah, I thought it was. Is there a sort of like a set time when you review sort of contract you have before?
No.
It
varies from service to service, to be honest with you. I mean, there are some things, the Zen contract, the internet telephony contract, was definitely done when we moved out of the town hall and then back in. And that was done as part of a, you know, a general overview of our telephony services, because we were tied into a service maintenance contract on the old system.
Thank you. Got what you need?
Yes, thank you.
I did get all that from you.
Okay, great. Moving on then to item number 9, which is the grant application. So probably what I've obviously written down there, but we've got 10,000 up until the end of March 2020. Of which we've spent roughly £1,800 of that, so there's £8,280 remaining. I guess I suggest we just take these therefore in turn. First one being the gig rowing. Now I believe this is the one that came to the previous meeting.
Yes.
And I remember Frank, you querying the fact that they were
asking
us to pay, effectively pay for their for their burgers. So obviously Lucy went back to ask for some more information. So has anybody looked at it, got anything out to query?
I haven't got it up now, but when they provided their bank statement today, am I correct in saying they have £11,000 in savings? Whereas during their application they stated that they only have £4,000 in savings.
So they've got, from what I could see, they've got £4,000 in their savings account, and then they've got £4,700 in their current account. I suspect when they submitted their application, they had £11,000, but they've paid out a few things recently. They've paid for the repair of some oars and different things. When I spoke to Gary Cook, he said that, you know, what they're desperately trying to do is to save for a new boat. So, you know, they were hoping that we would support the gig regatta so that they didn't have to dip into the savings funds that they're trying to accrue to pay for the boat, which is going to be about £25,000 if they buy the one they want. Now, clearly, the regatta has taken place already. So, you know, you're being asked to review an application because we deferred it. You know, it's come back after the gig regatta's actually taken place. So they've supplied summary accounts of the regatta and the costs and the sponsorship that they got. But you're in this slightly strange situation where you're being asked to support an event retrospectively because we deferred the application. But from what I can see, the bank statements have been supplied today.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of disconnect between what their bank statements say today and what their balances were a while ago. And I think that's because they've had some expenditure for the regatta itself and also because they've had some extraordinary expenses related to repairs and things like that, okay. From what I can tell.
Jerry? When I read it, to me it seemed as if the 4,000 was ring fence for the new boat. That they're saying that it's a separate fence, so you can't count that into what they've got, because that's ring fence for a specific purpose.
Does it make them?
And I think we have to discount that. Personally, I feel that we supported the sailing club when they started about doing their regattas, and the beach rescue people, they had the nationals here five, and each one we gave money to help support it, because actually they're bringing money in at the time, and that's a given. You got all the families in that, wouldn't it? So my personal view is that I would give them the money that they asked for, because they've proven that they raised money towards it on their accounts. They paid quite a bit of it themselves, and this is what they were left with, more or less. And as Lisa said, if they're saving desperately for a new boat that costs £25,000 each time, that
form
isn't going
to go
a long way. It's taken them
2 years
to
amass
support.
I'm sure it's going to take them a while to save it, but I can't understand why they're having so many people there and visitors, why they can't be selling them burgers and them cups of teas and them coffees to raise funds and possibly make a profit out of this, rather than coming to us and asking us to pay their refreshments for them. I know for a fact that my wife's a member of the rowing club, and they also have a regatta every year, and they actually make a profit out of it for the club.
So on the accounts that they've supplied for the regatta itself, there is income on there. There's a discrepancy actually, because they're saying that they took cash takings of £1,500, and I can't get the cost of the cakes, the tombola, the tea coffee, the barbecue, the programmes and the hands-on to add up to £1,535. It's slightly less, but the way I read that is that they have generated income through the regatta for the sale of cakes, a tombola, sale of tea and coffee, barbecue, programmes and hands-on. It's about £1,200 income they generated towards the costs.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was only going to say that I did go down and attend it. They were selling all sorts of items actually there. What they did have to do, and I quite understand this, they did have to supply food to the people that were actually in the regatta, because that was part, you know, the actual people that were taking part in the rowing and everything. They were, so there was that part of it, but they were selling quite a lot of things when I was down there, and there was quite a big attendance, actually.
Okay. So, aren't we actually, they're applying for us more for the new boat than paying for this event?
If they were selling stuff
to raise money for this event, selling cups of tea and coffee, that would have funded that event. So they're holding money back for a new boat.
They're doing a separate fund for their boat fund, which I know they're trying to get support to, because it costs £25,000 for the new boat. This was a completely separate event. They weren't raising money for that boat. They've only got just over £4,000 in their general account, which pays for all the things during the year which they have, and various other things that they have to enter competitions and all that sort of thing. So they've got other costs. So this isn't money going to the for the boat. This
no,
is
but,
money
I,
for
no.
This
but I suppose
event.
if the regatta event ends up being, you know, ends up costing them money because it doesn't
yeah.
wash its face,
yeah.
then that eats into their boat
yeah.
fund, doesn't
Sorry,
it?
But
so
there are other funds.
Did actually do that then? They made.
They it has washed its face, but they have also said in their accounts that it does mention that, you know, the town council grant is sort of part of their costing analysis.
So sorry. So but what I'm trying to say, if they've washed their face with the money they've taken from this event, then we're not actually contributing. They've covered that.
It's included in that expense, isn't it?
It seems to be. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've included the. The
sponsorship,
the expectation of a grant
okay.
within their income and expenses.
Okay, so I was under the impression that they were not including the money they were expecting to get from us, had covered the cost of the event and made a bit maybe on
something. It's included.
No.
It was certainly before.
Yeah.
What was included before?
It's not entirely clear because it says they've got costs of just under £2,000, and then their income is
£2,912. Well, while they're doing all that as well, they have to make a profit on it, if you like, because otherwise they're never going to get their boat, because if they enter quite a few competitions in that. And that's why they're in the host same year. And competition costs money.
Yeah, but Sherry, what they're applying for, they're applying for this particular event, or they were, which is already come. So that event is raising enough money to cover the event.
Right.
Why
did
they need to apply for money?
They asked us for money, and I'm sure
they
factored it in somewhere.
Because we have a record of supporting the initial stages in Exmouth of the new event. When the nationals for the beach rescue people were here, they needed a lot more than that to make up. I think beach rescue is a different matter because that's safety. Okay, obviously
Lisa's just been looking at figures, and I think what she's deduced is that as things stand, without our grant, they've made approximately £957 profit. If we give them the grant of £1,200, then obviously that would take that profit up to £2,020 with what they've actually, because the £1,020 they originally put was based on their expense, what they felt would be their expenses, but obviously the events since happened, so it doesn't all tie up. But I think the key factor here is that they, without our grant, they made £957 profit. If we give them the grant, then that profit goes up to
almost two thousand pounds.
So effectively, do we want to make their event win? It's hard, isn't it? Because they should have made more profit. They're using our grant toward their profit, but normally they've had it. So it's
normally, as you say, I think we could debate this
for the next hour.
Yeah,
not any further forward.
From a personal point of view, I think we've supported the ex-sailing club. We fought, you know, when they first started doing their tornado races and then all sorts of things on the beach, we always supported the ex-sailing club. We've supported the kayaking, whatever it was, a few years ago, the paddleboarding. I think it just seems a little bit mean if we haven't supported the
My point would be, do we need to give them the full £1,200 in view of the fact it's already made a £900 profit? So I think,
well, because the application was made before the
yeah.
But so it wouldn't have meant if we'd agreed to give it to them,
we wouldn't have known any difference.
We wouldn't have known any difference.
Can I just say as well that these aren't finalised accounts, so there's still question marks about different
yeah.
things. So for example, they haven't paid the licensing charge yet to East Devon District
yeah,
Council. They haven't paid the event charges to the District Council.
And
so there are outstanding expenses that have not yet been paid.
Do you want to vote on this one then?
Yes.
And does someone want to propose then?
Chair is already proposed.
Oh, you have chair, sorry.
Yes.
If this is for the full £1,020.
£1,020, yeah. Which was their original.
Have you got a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay.
All in favour? Six. Against?
I'm staying.
I can't remember. Great, I think that's carried forward then. Okay, on to the next one, which was another one that we discussed at the last meeting, and this was around the purchasing of tracksuits for the amateur boxing club, which they asked for £1,260. So I recall we went back and said, how many tracksuits and how much did it How much each? So we could make a determination about that. So I'm assuming everyone's read it. Does anyone want to speak?
I need to make a comment that I think this one and the last one, what concerns me is they don't seem to be making any applications for anybody else. You know, because certainly for the boxing club, you can get sporting journey, you can get awards for all, you can get all sorts of grants. And the last one, certainly because it's education and it's vulnerable families, Devon County Council has certain grants that are available through the Community Fund. And also, I don't know if our county councils would consider it out there. It's just that when you read it, it doesn't look as if they've made any application for anybody, and these two in particular are ones where I know they've made applications. There's quite a few different grant making authorities that would actually give to these particular type of applications.
Okay, that's a very valid point. Anyone anything else? Brian?
Yeah, I'd like just to propose that we support the boxing club. They do a lot of good work. They keep young girls and boys off the streets. They train them to look after themselves. And when they have their events in the pavilion, they're usually a side. So they do their best to raise money on their own behalf.
I was just going to say, the email that clarified exactly who the tracksuits were from, is that included in the paperwork, Lisa?
No,
That was quite relevant. I think it was, if I recall, I can't see exactly where it was, but if I recall, there were so many for children and so many for adults, wasn't there?
Yeah.
May I
just come back? What we have to remember is a lot of the children, the young people that go to these boxing clubs, are not financially well off. So they're in a position where they probably can't, or their parents or guardians can't afford to buy the tracksuits. You know, so I think to take that into account as well. So I propose we give them a full amount.
You can give a second there. We'll rather sit out there and give the road club burgers.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got a proposal from the second, but then
yeah,
for the full amount of £1,260.
All in favour?
Okay, thank you. It's carried.
Great, thank you. Just going back to the next one. I think that's all the ones done from the previous meeting that we carried over. So the next one is the district allotments, and I do believe that Councillor Paul would like to say a few words.
So I'm Joe Potter, I am Council Representative from the Dolly on the Allotments Association. This is part of a bigger scheme. This is not all the allotments, but part of a bigger scheme where they want to train up people how to use allotments, because they realise that people coming in to the set allotments are not understanding the complexity of what's needed and then fade away. So this is trying to train them so they're ready and able to use and run allotments properly. It's also part of another project, which is a very large polytunnel, which is as big as those two side doors there, to be used for, again, training and also for the use of the allotment holders. I don't think it's quite this for that. They've already got a sponsorship for the plastic bag on the control and arranged themselves to get it all ready for use. This is a purely part of the training side of it. And of course, from my point, It has implications for the environment, it has implications for reusability, all things which I think we should be
mental health.
Yeah, and well being, of course, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Sherry?
Is this on top of the £500 you give them every year to do the hedging in that?
Yes.
So in actual fact, they're asking for £1,000 this year.
So the £500 that we budget is, you know, the town council's contribution towards the cost of maintaining the boundaries. So on Pound Lane, we actually send the town maintenance team out to string the boundaries. But on Hamilton Lane, because it borders the highway, it's a bit more tricky. They get East Devon Tree Care in to do it, and we give them a contribution of £500 towards that.
So that's more maintenance.
I mean, that's more to do with the running costs of the allotments and the delegated authority that they have to manage the allotments properly on the town council's behalf. This is more a sort of a project fund request, if you like, you know, which they're applying to us for, yeah, grant funding for as a specific project.
Holly?
Yeah, just to add to what David has said, this is for a specific project. Which has been suggested by John Singleton, is to make use of a polytunnel which they inherited on a plot which had subsequently been given up. The polytunnel was in a very bad state of repair, but the frame is there, just needed recovering, and they have actually managed to get sponsorship for the covering, so they're getting the covering for absolutely nothing and they're going to put it on themselves. So this is just to buy some tools and equipment for John to be able to, as David said, help people who are new to allotment holding. A lot of people do start and then give up because they suddenly realise how much work it is. And I think also the approach John will take will enable people to really look after their allotment with the minimum amount of work, because he follows the no-dig method, which seems to have a lot of back-breaking work. I can attest to that. And you're much more likely to stay on top of the maintenance that it needs. So I think this is an excellent project, and I have huge respect for John Singleton as well.
I can't disagree with anything that Ollie said. What I have a problem with, looking at this, they appear to have £17,485.16 in the
bank. Yes, but they have to. They are responsible for the resurfacing of all the roads and all the gates within the allotment plots. And if you've ever been up to Hamilton Lane and you look at the amount of tarmac that's up there, they're also responsible for a contribution towards the costs of the maintenance of the lane into Gorfin Hall, because that's the access point. So there's a huge amount of money that they're accruing towards the cost of ongoing maintenance costs, which is, you know, the resurfacing of the lanes that divide up all the plots, which is significant. I mean, that's a significant cost, and that is we have an agreement with the Allotment Association, which sets out all the obligations that they have to fulfil as the managing agent on behalf of the town council. And, you know, the maintenance of all the boundaries, the gates, the roads, that's all included in it. So they wouldn't be doing their job properly if they weren't accruing the money to actually cover that cost when those roads need replacing.
Right. Lynn? Seems an awful lot of money to tarmac a few little tracks, but whatever. Yeah.
Lynn, I just want to propose that we support this, because, I mean, everybody, I mean, surely it's a positive that people want to grow their own food, they want to be on an allotment, don't they? A lot of younger people do need training on how to do that, and I think it's encouraging people to take allotments of the future and have to support the £500.
Right.
Yeah, I think that we can encourage people to grow their own food, live a healthy lifestyle. It's got to be a plus, yeah. Isn't it, really?
I think I like the idea that it's sort of supporting someone that's council.
We've got our own interest in this continuing to grow, haven't we, because it's our allotments to an extent. Mm-hmm. So
I have a proposal. Do I have a seconder? Frank? All in favour?
Get that?
Yes. Any against?
Happy chair.
Oh, okay.
Alex, I
think
just say recently I can appreciate this. I do have sort of an interest.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it's part of my parish. I don't actually attend that church, but it's part of my parish.
Okay, thank you, that's noted. So, moving on to All Saints Preschool, obviously Lynn made that comment earlier about that, which is quite an interesting one, because I must admit, I haven't considered that myself. So, I guess does that, what are people's feelings on that then?
Can I just add to that?
Yes,
Lynn. No, I only consider this, when you read through this application, and they're talking about creating the rest and relaxation area. I mean, obviously, this is something their street families are suggesting that they have at the moment that are vulnerable. It's just, I presume they've done all the research on that to say that this is the best way of actually providing. I know you don't know, I mean, I'm just saying, it's something that's normally provided by the education or by local, you know, with the advice of local council, social workers, care workers. It's not usually a preschool decide that you're going to have that area unless they feel that's the most appropriate for health and well-being of the children. I've just got a little bit of concern of you know, where this is coming from and whether they've got that. I mean, I've read all through the various papers because they have got a lot of support for it. But I do think they ought to see if there's funding through education or funding through Devon County Council. So I probably wouldn't support the whole of the grant.
Colin?
I think the reason they need this area is because they've extended the number of young children that they're having, and also they're having them for the whole day. And children of 2 years old usually need a sleep at some time during the day. And so I think it's to provide an area for them, but I'm sure it will be used in other ways as well. But I take your point about whether we should be granting it for them.
Cherry?
Is this the same nursery that we supported last year with a grant when they got their award or whatever?
No, I don't know.
Is that the one that... Oh, yeah.
Was that the one in Marple Hill?
I was going to say, it wasn't this one.
No, it was on Exeter Road.
I think it's part of Exeter Road.
Yeah,
but they're saying this is from All Saints, it's part of Exeter Road.
Right, well, I'm sure that's the one that we've
found. I suppose I sort of feel with Lynn really that before we approve this, we should go back and ask where else they've sought funding, because I don't think as a council we particularly want to be subsidising, you know, there might be proper provisions for this in place. At least ask the question in the first instance, I think is my view. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a great supporter of childcare, especially with young children. And this, I feel if we don't support them, it has repercussions across the board, because as we all know, the days of the mother staying home looking after the children and the father going to work are long gone. So now, as we all know, most, I can't say wives, because we don't have wives anymore, as we used to have, we have partners. So most female partners tend to go to work. So if you can provide quality playcare for younger children of this age, I think it's essential to the well-being of the families in general and the town in general. It allows young women to go out to work. If you don't support it, and for whatever reason it fails, or they can't increase the numbers, you're not only failing to look after the younger children, you're failing to appreciate and help the younger people, the younger wives, get back into employment. So I would feel that this is worthwhile, and I would like to support it.
Councillor.
I take Brian's point, but is that the duty of the town council, maybe more a duty of the state to provide those services rather than getting funding from the town council?
Lots of things the kind of council pay for, that Devon County should be paying for. We don't argue about that.
Just want to say, whilst I agree with Brian's point, I think we have the highest childcare costs in Europe. And at the same time, I'm minded not to be able, I don't feel I can support this without some research being done into whether there are other avenues where that funding can be given. Because as I think Frank said, you know, are we creating a precedent as well if we give this money, if it's available elsewhere?
That was a concern of mine, is that, you know, other preschools. So I don't know if we want to ask more questions, Lisa, is that okay?
That's fine. I mean, if you
to contact the county council, if you want just to ask, you know, just to ask a bit more background, and I'll do that quickly. So, I mean, I just want to make a point Councillor Bailey, I'm not against preschool at all. I know you've quite a lot of money to them, but it's just whether we should be funding this type of project because of the type of thing it is. It's slightly different. So, I mean, I'm happy to contact the county council just to check that, and also the Devon Community Fund, which does usually fund building things to do with preschool.
My suggestion would be that you defer it, and then you know we do the research and we can put it back on the agenda for the next meeting.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Right, that's the end of the grant application. Now moving on to the service level agreement. So again, we have £16,350 budgeted, and the current balance. £6,850. So that's the balance that we've got left, excluding the payment due to Exeter and Blue. And how much roughly is that, Lisa?
£4,000.
Okay. So yeah. So that's £2,850 we've got left then for the rest of the year. So the one we've got in front of us is the Exmouth Museum. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but these are ones that we've previously paid. These are sort of more standing grants.
So historically, we had a service level agreement with the museum, and then it lapsed, and they haven't submitted an application. So they put in another application because it had lapsed. But it is something that we'd supported historically through a service level agreement in the same way that we support the other organisations.
Does anyone have any queries on this one? Because I have a proposer then, actually. Proposer? Paul, and a seconder. Oh, I think Frank beats it. That's the quickest one. Well done. Great. This next item might need more of a discussion. So, to consider a request from the town crier, Roger Bourdieu, to increase his honorarium. So, further to the point that was made earlier, could one of you confirm how much is currently paid?
It's £550 a year. Used to be £350 a year, and then it was increased through a request to the Finance Committee to £550 a year. And then you can claim up to £24 a month in expenses, which is for travel and cleaning expenses for his uniform, which is payable on a presentation of receipts.
Can I ask a question on do you know how often is he out every week, or is he out like...
I think he's out
5 weeks of 52. Have you got any idea?
My feeling is that he's probably out, you know, 3 or 4 times a week.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul?
Yeah, just to answer that, just from my perspective, and answer any other bit of counselling in the last few months, but Roger, from my experience, is extremely active at the town crier. He even turned up to the waste audit, which my colleague Councillor Wibberley remarked that he'd even turn up for an opening of a bin bag.
Actually a bin bag.
So I support this on the basis that I think he personally does an incredible job and works very hard. The only concern I have would be obviously Roger Dazzin, he isn't being placed at some point. But on a performance really, it's something that I would support that.
Terry?
Yeah, I'm not sure who does he report to? And who, okay, that was the reason he was taken on. It was going to be that all the appointments and everything else were going to be vetted, and he would be told which ones he was actually representing. Yeah, don't shake your head, Lisa, but it was originally.
Well, the difficulty we've had is that Roger was appointed prior to me being imposed. The records that we have relating to the terms and conditions of that appointment, bearing in mind it's a voluntary appointment, mm-hmm. are quite scarce. So there's nothing that's documented that says that his appointments have to be approved by me or any member of the town council. What we've put in place since I started in 2014 is a process whereby all his expenses, you know, have to be approved, and they come to me on an expense form in the same way that any councillor expenses would come to us. Jennifer acts as his secretary and along with the secretary to the mayor and has some involvement in, you know, diary appointments, but you know, we're not, it's a voluntary role, so you know, it's a bit woolly.
Can I, if what are the sort of rules, so in an honorarium sense, if we did increase it and then he suddenly stops turning up, or what, just as an example, what are the sort of, is there any sort of contract?
Well, there isn't a contract.
So we could potentially stop paying it at any time if we chose to, there's no.
It's a voluntary role, and the honorarium is, you know, in recognition of the time that he gives on a voluntary basis. And when I've, you know, investigated historically, you know, how this works in other places, I mean, you know, it varies from town council to town council how closely a town council has involvement in managing diaries of town criers. But in many instances, they have complete autonomy just because of the nature of the role. But I suppose, you know, the question is, the more money the higher the honorarium, then you could argue the higher the accountability in terms of, you know, the town council having a say in what he's doing.
Ollie?
Because you say, when you say it's a voluntary post, then this is obviously, you're starting to pay him, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, not very much, given that he probably does 10 hours a week of various appearances, but you are moving from a recognition of a, you know, a kind of small amount just to cover turning up, to kind of moving towards some kind of payment. I don't know what's usual in the case of an honorarium, but as you say, it's a voluntary post, it's not a paid post.
Brian?
Thank you. I can see both sides of the argument. I've spoken to Roger about this on numerous occasions, and I've checked with Jen what he's doing, and quite often he's doing a weekend, three or four or five events at a weekend, let alone what he does in the week. He turns up at various charitable groups, he turns up at various self-help groups on a regular basis and helps, and by his very presence, it makes it more of an occasion, and he's representing the town. My personal feeling is whatever we're paying, it's not enough. He's a very pleasant chap. This is not my opinion, I ask other people. Well, yes, they're very pleased to see him training, he's very pleasant. He makes an effort. He seems to generally support the various groups and societies where he attends. And I think he does a good showcase for the town. My personal opinion, that's all. But I won't vote one way or the other because I've, over the years, I've made one to a friend. I should have declared it earlier. So I won't actually vote. But I will say that.
Does anyone have any, obviously his request is to increase from 10 to 30. Does anyone have any feelings as to whether we should increase to, say, 20 as a sort of halfway house? Sir Joy?
I personally think that to increase from 10 to 30 is an awful lot, quite frankly. I mean, if his honorarium is, what, £500?
£550.
Well, why don't we make it up to 700 per year?
He's getting more of mayor at the moment. The mayor has an allowance that you can spend.
It's 1,000.
Yeah,
it's just over.
The mayor's
allowance.
£1,600, aren't
they? The mayor's allowance is about just over £1,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it's £24. And then
they've chosen about the councillor, the £343 they get for the being councillor to be there. That's what she's on about.
And that's only. Well, they only get
400
or something.
Yeah, 400.
Councillors do, but the mayor's
is
46.
Well,
so
if it's
£30
a week, maybe £1,600 quid.
Which I think is too much,
isn't it? I don't know, I think we had Ollie.
Well, we all get an allowance as well, don't we? It's not very much, but
I mean,
we do get one. I was going to suggest that maybe, as you say, rather than triple it, we perhaps double it. round it up to 1,000 a year. So instead of 550, put it up to 1,000, which perhaps in this day and age is recognising the sort of trouble that somebody is going to. I totally agree with Brian that Roger is a very good advert for the town, and he does do a huge amount of public good, I would say. And I don't think £20 a week is an awful lot to be asking somebody to fulfil that role. Although it's voluntary, I think we actually ask quite a lot of him, and he probably goes more than the extra mile.
Just wanted to second that point, and having read Roger's letter, I think there are all reasons behind him asking for it. I think he works very hard, so I think the suggestion, don't think it's £20, would be what I support.
I think something obviously that Elise has just pointed out, I personally do agree with the £20, but I think what was said at the start about the expenses was that there's a limit on the expenses, which feels a bit odd to me, other than you wouldn't want that to get out of hand. But obviously, if he's incurring general expenses, then maybe the expenses part of it could be reviewed maybe for a future.
Well, I'm just saying that an alternative might be, if you feel uncomfortable with giving a blanket increase on the honorarium, perhaps you could look at increasing the budget for expenses, which are repaid on presentation of valid receipts. So if he's incurring expenses through travelling or you know, cleaning costs or whatever, then you know, an alternative option might be to increase the expenses. But it would be out of kilter with the expenses that councillors can claim.
Do we have, in terms of the, I think a couple of people have suggested that increasing to £20.
Make it 1,000, which is...
Yes, so do I have a proposer for that? Because that's Paul. And a seconder for 20. All in favour? And any against?
Who seconds, please?
Ollie. Oh, it was you. Yeah.
Thank you. Good. That's £1,000 a year.
100%. Right. So the next one was to review and approve the council's annual investment strategy. So Lisa, would you mind just sort of providing a summary on that?
So the council's required to have an investment strategy. It's just basically just lays out in compliance with sort of local government guidance what our policy is in terms of borrowing, investments, etc. Now, we don't have any borrowing. The only investment we have is the £100,000 that we have currently invested in the CCLA Public Sector Deposit Fund. And I've circulated details, the fact sheet on the Public Sector Deposit Fund. So it's a low-risk fund that is deemed to be suitable for local public authorities. From time to time, we get asked if we'd like to look at an alternative fund, which is more risky, which is the Local Authorities Property Fund. Alex and I have spoken. Now, the properties fund, like most property funds, is really, you know, aimed at people who've got a longer term view of investments, and they do say that you should really be looking at sort of a 4 to 5 year term. The public sector deposit fund, we can withdraw money instantaneously from that. So, you know, if, for example, the ambition that the town council had to move into its own premises materialised, and we need to, you know, stop putting deposits down and things like that. If it was invested in the property fund, then you know you're gonna face that cyclical risk of investment strategy. Whereas the sector deposit fund, we can withdraw the money at short notice, but we don't get as high a return on it. So, I mean, I don't think we need to change the annual investment strategy. It follows national guidance in terms of, you know, risk, etc. But I think what I'd like to steer on tonight is, you know, our bank balances are quite high at the moment. We discussed at the last meeting that, you know, we've only got a protection of £85,000 under the National Protection Scheme. You know, I think it's timely that we look at perhaps increasing the amount of money we've got in the public sector deposit fund, so that we can move some money out of our bank account. And then all I need to do in terms of the investment strategy is I would just need to update the amount that we've got invested in the public sector fund, because it states in our investment strategy that we've only got £100,000 in there.
Brian?
Excuse my naivety. I take your point about the financial limit of this internal investment in case of some sort of financial disaster. So theoretically, the thought came occurred to me that you could possibly open another account in another well-established bank. And that would solve one problem, and you could reinvest in various low-risk schemes in their bank, and that would spread the load, wouldn't it?
We could do, except that if you've been through the process of signatory changes, etc., you will know that actually the market does not cater very well for local councils. None of the banks seem to recognise the council structure as a corporate structure. And so none of the banking solutions, the high street banking solutions, are ideal in terms of the way that a town council conducts its business and the way that we need to set up authorised signatories, etc. It's a point of debate across the country, at NALC and SLCC level, that banking provision for local authority at our level is inadequate. So we could open another bank account, but then every time we have a change of council, we're going to go through the same heartache that we've gone through. It's taken us 2 months to get the signatories changed over. The bank mandates, it's complicated. And we don't need another bank account because we don't need the full range of banking facilities. We don't need the internet banking, the checkbooks, etc. What we need is a safe place where we can deposit the funds that we are holding in reserves until such times as we need them.
Frank?
Sure. Yeah, I've always considered the bank safety deposit thing an absolute joke, because if the country got that much of a stake that all those banks went bust, it wouldn't, that'd be the least thing on their minds really. Something I want to go on to is the fund. I've lost the page now. The charitable trust fund, do we get to choose what that's invested in, or is that run by something else? Because at the moment they're invested in fizzy popping junk food.
Yes, I noticed that. Mm. Yeah.
No, we don't. It's they have fund managers that manage the fund allocations.
Okay, yeah. We have no so say about
you,
what.
No, so if you buy into it, you buy into their fund manager actually managing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sharon? I would propose we put the money over into the CCMA. How much do we need to move over? Taking it down to 85,000?
Well, I don't think we can go quite that far. No. We've got about £350,000 in earmarked reserves, and then we've got general reserves of about £200,000.
So we can put about £200,000 in? So, just roughly what I work at.
Yes, but, I mean we could come. I think if we put our general reserves in there, earmarked reserves are earmarked because some of the projects are shorter term rather than longer term. I mean, the only thing that I would say is perhaps the money that we're holding for the property sinking fund. I mean, that could go into the deposit fund. Because we're not likely to need that next week. Some of the money that's held in the other earmarked accounts, we might need it. So, my suggestion would be perhaps we put the money that we've currently got in earmarked reserves that's for the property sinking fund, and the amount that's for general reserves, which I think is just over 200,000. So you're probably looking at about 300,000, just over. Mm. If we could put those two sums in, then that would bring our exposure through our bank account down.
I was just going to add to Frank's point that although, yes, I agree, if all the banks go pear-shaped, there's a lot bigger things to worry about. I still think it's prudent to, it's good sense and common practice to not have more than that 85,000 in one particular place, and that's advice that's given quite often, so I think
we should follow that that sort of practice that
we do get a little bit of return as well on the public sector deposit fund. I mean, it's not
£63 a month now.
That's £63 a month, which we're not getting from the bank account. So it's generating a little bit of income for us.
Do you want a proposal on that,
please,
then?
Yeah.
So it was Cherry, you proposed that Ben joined to second. I don't know what the actual wording we agreed on in the end, but
I don't have the figures on me, but if we propose that we move the money that's in the earmarked account for the building sinking fund and the money that is in our general reserves account based on the figures at the year end 31st of March 2019, if we agree we put that into the public sector deposit fund.
I think you'll have to put a proviso on there in this committee that you say yes, appropriate with the town clerk and the finance officer.
Okay.
In case it isn't quite what we say here,
that's the basic premise that it'll be those two funding pots.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then that leaves it to you and Julie.
Yes.
We have proposed it and seconded it, all in favour. Everybody, unanimous. Okay, final item, to consider and approve funding arrangements for the 2019-20 Communities Together Fund.
Is that the Brandon's Den one?
Yes. So,
we've shorted them.
No, so what we...
Is there a paper on this, Lisa?
What we agreed at full council was that the underspend from last year's Dragon's Den event, with the permission from the county council and the district council, we put that money in. They said that we could hold on to that underspend, which was just over £4,500, on the basis that we would then run the scheme again in this financial year. Now, last year we had a total funding pot of £30,000, and we allocated just over £25,000, hence the balance of £4,500. Clearly, if we're going to run an event on a similar scale, we need to add to the current balance of £4,500. Now, my suggestion is that as a starting point, we put the solar income that isn't allocated into it. So we have a unilateral agreement with a solar company up at Bystock, where a percentage of the income that they generate comes to the town council, and it has to be used for community use. That's stipulated in the unilateral agreement. We get just under £5,000 a year income from it, and we've committed £12,000 to the Wild Exmouth project because it met the criteria of a community project. But actually, we've still got money in there, and we'll get another payment in. So I think the balance at the moment is £9,800 of unallocated money from that income source. So my suggestion is that after the £12,000. So my suggestion is that we use that for the Communities Together Fund, and then you've got the £4,500 underspend from last year. So you're getting up to somewhere near sort of £15,000. The question then is whether you want to put anything else in from reserves, whether you want to make that pot even bigger.
Brian?
Thank you. Would any of the shell money be available for that? Theoretically?
It would be very difficult to manage because, the SIL money has to be spent on mitigating the impact of development, and the scrutiny that we would have to put every project through to assess whether it's actually mitigating the impact of the development would complicate matters. So I think we're better to keep that to one side. We have got money in reserves. If the council felt that they wanted to increase that pot, you could take it out of reserves.
Okay, thank you.
I think I'd like to propose we do take some out of reserves and say make it up to £20,000.
Okay.
Because I think we had money over last time when we did 30, so we spent about £25,000. But I think if it was £20,000, it would look as if we were doing something for the town in quite a good way. And it would be enough for quite a few organisations to come forward with some ideas and do the drugs then again.
Okay.
I mean, that would be my proposal.
Okay.
No, well, I'm new to this committee, so I'm just hoping somebody can explain what the Communities Together Fund actually does and who it funds.
So, historically, there was a fund that was available across the county called the Parishes Together Fund, which was the county council put in £1 per elector per parish, and then the district council put in 10p per elector per parish. And in order to access that funding, you had to collaborate with an adjoining town or parish council on a project that was going to benefit across boundary. And we successfully applied for funding through that funding pot to have the solar lights put along the Limpstone cycle path. We collaborated with Limpstone Parish Council on that. We collaborated with Honiton Town Council on a Christmas lights project. We collaborated with several smaller parish councils on the purchase of a mobile CCTV camera, which is still being deployed. So there were various applications that we made to that Parishes Together Fund. And we were quite lucky in that because our electoral role is quite high, you multiply up £1.10 per electorate in Exmouth, we can actually access in the latter years, you know, over £30,000. Some of the smaller parishes struggle because if you've only got a small village with 400 people, the pot that you can access is sort of, you know, in the hundreds rather than the thousands. So there's this big disparity between the larger towns and the smaller parishes on, you know, how much they could access. And even when you collaborated, that discrepancy caused problems because the scale of problem that we'd look at from a town council was quite different to the scale of project that a parish council would look at. And they were finding at a district council who oversaw the fund that they were ending up with money left over every year because the smaller parishes just couldn't come up with projects that met the criteria or that were meaningful enough. So they decided to jig it all around and change it. And what they've now done is they've put all the money across East Devon into a central pot and they've added a match funding criteria and a ceiling, I think it's £20,000. So now any town or parish council or community organisation can apply to the Communities Together Fund, but there's a ceiling and you have to match fund it. In Exmouth, they decided that they would use the town council to run a pilot scheme based on a Dragon's Den funding approach. Yeah. So the proportion of funding, £1.10 per elector times the number of electors we've got in Exmouth, was ring-fenced specifically for Exmouth, and we were given delegated authority to run that part of the grant funding scheme as a Dragon's Den community fund, and it became known as the Communities Fund. And we had £30,000 that we were able to use, £30,000 I think. And we ran a community funding project. So we publicised the scheme, we invited bids, and then we literally had a Dragon's Den style event where we had a panel of dragons, and each applicant had to come and present their idea. And then the community attendees, because they're a public participatory audience, they actually voted on the projects, and then the projects were awarded money on that basis. But there was an underspend, so we had £30,000, which was ring-fenced, and we were told that if we were committed to running the event again this year, we could keep the underspend.
Yeah.
But of course, there's no more, the Communities Together Fund, there's no more money to come from that fund this year. But the concept of running it as a dragon-style event with the little bit of money that we've got left over was appealing. Mm-hmm. But we need to supplement it with some other funding.
Okay.
So we've got the solar income that we can add to it. And now Lynn's proposed that we take, it'll be about £5,000 out of reserves to increase the funding pot to £20,000, which will allow us to run it on a scale similar to last year.
Okay, yeah. Do we have a proposer from Lynn? Do we have a seconder for that particular suggestion? That's Brian. All in favour?
Great.
None against?
Nope.
Meeting is concluded.